EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind of it?
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merge 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
County dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show, wherever in the world you are listening from. How are you all? I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. We are joined tonight by Sarah in London, and Sarah is what's called a rescue medium and works with people to remove negative entities, and she will be sharing some of the work that she has done and the things that she has encountered. Sarah, up next. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal, and if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Hello, Sarah. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Nick. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming on. And you're calling from London in the UK.
Yes. Yes, I am. Yeah. Born and bred that way, recording that way today. Yeah, it was just by coincidence. I think I was looking for podcasts and I came across yours and was just incredibly impressed and was just, I would love to be on there and share my experiences with mediumship that differ quite a lot, I think, from many other mediums.
Wonderful. Well, you've come to the right place, Sarah. Now, you're going to be sharing some of your experiences as a medium. Would you like to start at the beginning, please, ma'am?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think from as young as I can remember, I had these gifts, and really I feel that many children do. Quite often, I remember my sister saying to me, you know, you're always talking to people in doorways, but you know, there's no one there. I became really fascinated with the spirit world when my dad passed away when I was 10. When he passed away, there was so much activity in my home and I would like walk into a room. So it was just, I just lived with my mum and dad and I would walk into a room and think that my mum was sitting in the chair because I would see a figure. And I'd be chatting away and then my mum would come out of the bedroom and say, you know, like, who are you talking to? It was from those experiences that I really knew that I was able to sense spirits and talk to spirits. And it was also my dad's passing that I found incredibly difficult. And I remember going for a walk by myself. I was quite young and I just took myself out of the house. And I felt in such pain from that experience. I remember saying, I don't want to feel it anymore. I don't want to sense spirits. I just don't. I'm just not interested. And then I had the odd experience growing up, and I think I tried to push it to one side. And then my mum passed away when I was 24, and it was really her efforts from the other side that really, I think, just opened the door wide open again. And from that, I got into different mediumship circles. I just really concentrated on my development. And over time, I've gone from doing practice around one-to-one mediumship, you know, if someone visits you and a loved one has passed. I got really kind of diverted off that path unexpectedly into what is known as rescue mediumship. So if a spirit doesn't find their way to the light for various reasons, then moving on to things like astral spiders and helping people who are experiencing them, and also into negative entity removal, which I didn't see coming either. So I have, you know, various examples that I can share of what took me down this road and how I've helped clients. With the rescue mediumship, I found myself, I finished doing a mediumship circle in my house with some really close friends. And I remember when they left, I almost felt like I was pinned to the wall. And all I could hear was, help me, help me. I'm stuck. I need your help. And I remember thinking, you know, what is this? This has never really been introduced to me before. And from that, I started reading about rescue mediumship. And I started to look into things as well, like crime, unsolved crime. And one of the things that really stood out for me about kind of 8 years ago is, this is honestly like a really truth. This is the honest truth. I was sitting on my sofa. I had EastEnders on in the background. And I decided to look at local cold cases that are just, you know, they're easily available that the police ask for help for. I remember reading about one, and before I knew it, the spirit of that person was in my front room, and I was channeling this message, and I held on to it for about a week. I didn't really know what to do with it. Should I email it in? Are they going to think I'm crazy? I did email it in, and I got a phone call literally a few hours later, and a detective had said to me, you know, he literally spat out his coffee and really kind of slammed his mug down when he read what I had sent in, because there was so much stuff that I had documented that wasn't on any news broadcast. It just wasn't out there. And actually, when this girl was murdered, I was actually 11 years old. So it surprised them so much, they actually asked if they could come round and speak to me at my house. And they did come round and kind of verified that I was a genuine person. And then they then stored that information on on their database. They can't use information from mediums as a kind of tool to take into court. You know, it would just be this, you know, it would just be thrown out. But they do actually take on board credible mediums like information. And so far, I haven't done it for a couple of years, but I've done that with three cold case murders where the police have accepted information from me and are holding it on, you know, on whatever they hold it on in relation to the crime. And in those cases, with those murders, I did help those spirits by listening to them. That's a big part of rescue mediumship. And helping them feel at ease with transitioning to where they should be. And little by little, over time, wherever I go, there are many places, either via work. I've worked in hostels before, converted Victorian houses. And, you know, you have access to all the CCTV as well around the building. So even if you didn't have mediumship gifts, you would certainly see it on a CCTV, but there was many paranormal experiences I had in those buildings. One experience I had in a hostel was when I met a co-worker for the first time. I was sitting right opposite the desk and looking at the door that had, you know, a bit of clear glass in it. And I remember looking up, and looking at me were two Victorian blonde haired girls, looked like twins. They described what they were wearing, the teddy bear they were holding. And he turned to me and he said, because he picked up on them, there's this, these girls that are here. And I went, yeah, and they look like this. And he just was really gobsmacked. He was like, how do you know that? And I said, because they just looked at me through the door. There was a spirit girl there who had accidentally drowned. And at certain times of the night, she was running around and slamming doors repeatedly over and over. So over time, I did some work with her and she crossed to the light. So when I used to be a night shift worker in various jobs, I would encounter spirits. Other examples are, for a while, I was an end-of-life carer in the community. I was actually been a care worker for many years, and certainly doing that in people's own homes. There was one experience that really kind of stood out for me where I think this is really good to listen. Don't dismiss loved ones who are coming towards the end of their life, because I guarantee you if they are saying that they're seeing somebody to greet them, that is happening. So I was doing nights in this dear lady's house who had cancer, and she was lying in bed and her family were kind of around her, and they were kind of saying, oh, you know, mum, don't be silly, there's no one at the end of the bed. And when I sort of looked, they said, oh, they think that she can see her husband, my dad, at the bottom of the bed. And the woman just kind of looked at me as if to say, you know, can you see it? And I could see him, and I encountered him a few nights in a row. I sort of came out once with a drink and I saw him kind of go up the stairs. The first night I went there, he got my attention because he flickered the light until he got my attention. And then I sat down and he, you know, he was talking to me about how he was waiting for her. So lots of different experiences in different places, certainly through my other work that I've done over the years in regards to rescue mediumship. Then the best way to describe how I got into astral spiders was, I'll explain the experience first and then I'll explain a little bit about astral spiders and my experience. So my wife and I were staying in a hotel for a family member's wedding, and I remember sitting on the edge of the bed and looking at the wall in front of me and seeing this absolutely massive, quite scary spider, not like anything that I've seen, you know, the human world, walk all the way across the top of the room and then go round into the bathroom. And because I felt really panicked, because my wife doesn't like spiders, she's got a lot better over the years, and I thought, if she sees that, wow, that's not going to be good. So I woke her up in a kind of panic, like, we just need to leave the room, we need to get out of the room. And she was like, why? And I said, because there was this thing walking across the room, and if you see it, so we just need to leave the room. Then I realised, when I was talking to her, that the colour in the room was coming back. And then I realised something was different, because actually, when I then stopped and thought about it, when I was watching this spider walk across the top, it was actually the whole room, it was like grey with black spots on it, with like ooze dripping down the walls, like goo, dark goo, grey goo. And then I realised, especially after my wife, she was like, this can't be real. We looked and there's absolutely no spider. I realised that when I was sitting on the edge of the bed, I was what I call in the in-between space. So I wasn't fully awake and I wasn't fully asleep. I was some way midway watching this, and then I came out of it. So after that experience, I took to the internet and different bits, and I was like spiders, and I came across some different bits on astral spiders, but nothing really resonated with me. So I meditated and I spent time with my spirit guide team, and they explained a lot to me about astral spiders. And then one of my main spirit guides, Tobias, said to me, you are going to work with people to remove these parasites and help them understand how they can do that for themselves. And I remember saying, no, I'm not going to do that. That's definitely not for me. And I remember Tobias like, yes, you are. And I was like, no. And it was going backwards and forwards. And I really didn't want to kind of acknowledge it at all. I just thought, you know, that's a little far out even for me. But then some people started actually messaging me randomly. Well, it's not so random. I hadn't put anything out there about astral spiders and could I help? So I thought, okay, I'm going to work with my guides and have a go. Yeah. And actually then what I was doing for people was really greatly helping them. That's how I got into this type of work. And then I'm also guiding others about astral spiders and how they can remove them. Just talk about astral spiders. I think sometimes they're referred to as etheric spiders. Not all spiders that are in spiritual realms are parasitic. I've seen beautiful white spiders protecting doorways, lots of beautiful things. Astral spiders are can be quite large, can be really piercing black, can have really kind of threatening eyes, and they are visibly scary. They are visibly scary. And people who have astral spider attachments normally will feel that their energy is draining. They feel quite low. Seeing things crawl when they're waking up, they're dreaming about them. I find a lot of people experience pain at the back of their neck and in their lower back where these parasites can kind of latch on. They're just what I would call kind of like energy vampires. They're just parasitic. Now, over time, I've seen small ones. I've seen ones that tower over houses. I've seen hybrid ones coming out of people's floorboards, part scorpion, part spider. And I know how this sounds, but one of the things people tell me when I'm supporting them is like, thank God I found you, because you actually understand, because so many people are ridiculed for these experiences. One person I helped, she was in America, and it had just gotten so bad for her that she actually left her house. She actually left her house, bless her, and I did some work for her, and the experiences did stop, and she lives somewhere else now, and she's fine. That's how kind of debilitating it was for her. Now, with that experience, with that lady I helped, I remember seeing some things that I had never seen before. And that's how, in some cases, astral spiders can be manipulated by other negative entities. So if I just explain what happened. So the first time I did the removal and saw that her space was clear, I always leave it a day and then I take another look, because for me it's like peeling the layers off an onion, let the energy settle, then I can have a deeper look. And I've never seen anything like what I saw in this case. This thing almost looked alien in nature. It had a very long white face. It had no colour in it, you know. It was just, it looked like, you know, deceased, almost wearing this full black sort of cloak, and had these huge, huge pointy fingers. And as Tipu was putting his fingers down near her energy, it was like oozing out of his fingers, and then they were turning into like these astral parasites. and go into attack. And then he would come in at different points of her energy around her, around the room, and just create very quickly these open doorways that he would just, some people I think maybe call them portals, or I always call them spirit doorways. And it was that entity that was tormenting her and manipulating energy to absolutely terrify her. So it was a real kind of pleasure to support her. That was a really interesting case with astral spiders. With the hybrid ones, I would even say, like, some people have seen them in reported that I've helped with clients, almost like a crab shape as well, really kind of like distorted things. What I found with astral spiders is a lot of people that experience astral spiders are experiencing sleep paralysis. So I'm not suggesting that everybody who experiences sleep paralysis has some kind of attachment, because there are medical causes, obviously, for certain things we experience, and it is important to have those checked. But I find that a lot of people that are having sleep paralysis are experiencing things like astral spider or parasite attacks. I also find that if they have rescue mediumship gifts and they don't realise that, literally at night time, a soul can be so close to you that almost like their energy is just so heavy that it can make you feel like, yeah, it can cause sleep paralysis. Now, I can honestly say I have experienced this myself. I had a lost soul come so close to me when I was first developing that I woke up in bed and I remember calling out for my wife and she couldn't hear me, and I could see that the soul wasn't trying to hurt me, but they were sitting on me, and I literally just couldn't move. So what I try and help people with is when they're seeing these astral spiders and they're seeing these entities, instead of they're scary, and some of them are very scary looking, and I think that can actually cause trauma in people. What is the reason why you're seeing them? It's not, don't automatically flick to it some kind of punishment. Is there a reason here that this is happening? Because with my work, I was finding 20% out of 100, I would help with this problem of astral spiders and parasite attachments and sleep paralysis, and they would be fine after the removals. But then some people, it would just come back for, so the other 8%, and I would have to do a lot of meditation with my guides and things, but why is this happening? And it was because when we're asleep, we're connected to the astral planes, and a lot of people who have these gifts don't realise they're doing light work, and these attachments can kind of happen when we're not expecting it and we don't remember it. And I also find that negative entities and astral spiders do actually cause torment to lost souls. A lot of mediums out there do not believe in lost souls, trapped spirits, or anything that I'm talking about. That I can only describe from my experience and what I help others with that have these experiences, that these things are very real. I honestly don't believe my dad initially passed to spirit to where he should have been, because of the nature of the activity in the home that I was experiencing. I really knew back then that that wasn't just visits, like it was like he had never left. So it's about kind of understanding that actually maybe these experiences are happening because they're a gift there, and maybe people don't understand those, that they have those gifts. I've helped people who are experiencing negative entities where their beds are literally shaking, where there has been attacks on more than one member of the family, and even in one case, an animal in the home. And believe it or not, that being done because causing torment to the animal will cause more torment to the person rather than doing it to the person. So other types of astral parasites that cause problems that I've helped people with that they've reported, like wood lice type things scuttling across the ceiling, parasitic worms, and just all very kind of things that literally really just frighten people. And I have seen these type of things. I've helped people who have experienced other forms of negative entities, which have even done even more kind of graphic things and caused quite sexual dreams. Like that kind of thing is quite traumatic. That's happened on more than one occasion. And the two people I've helped with that have been female and have had, yeah, really amazing gift of being able to see different planes, being able to connect with angels, being energy healers, as well as having other gifts such as rescue mediumship. So yeah, that's very interesting. I've had lots of experiences with negative entities trying to throw me off my path. The more work I've done, the more sometimes I think that they try it, because they absolutely detest those of us that are developing gifts or develop gifts to remove them. I've seen some entities that look like beasts, but almost like hybrids. So it almost looks, the legs could be one part of an animal with thin legs and then quite a beast type face and appearance. And I found them ones to be quite powerful, and I've associated them twice with sexual assault dreams and experiences, and also them being just incredibly strong-willed. Another type of negative entity that I've been dealing with, and bear with me with this because it's got nothing to do with witchcraft as we know it today, or what happened to those poor souls in the past that were victimised. I know there's many people that practice light magic in this life, and this isn't anything to do with that whatsoever. I've encountered, and so have many people I supported, which can only be described as dark witches that have never incarnated on the earth. So they've got nothing to do with anybody here who practices the lighter side of what we do in this world in regards to that. So it's something absolutely, completely different. They're one of the darkest entities that I've encountered dealing with. Actually dark magic, and I can honestly say that because I know there'll be one or two people that listen to this podcast that I've helped who will absolutely understand what I'm saying here. And I often find, to me, I wouldn't say that I've encountered a full-on total demonic entity. I think I've touched around it and I think I'm getting closer, but I often find that type of entity to be associated in those kind of realms. So I've helped people and students who have been woken up by what they describe as dark witches, and again, very kind of traumatic. I have questioned my guides of, you know, why are you directing me down this path now? You know, I've started off in one area of mediumship. I love helping lost souls. Then it was moving on to astral spiders, and now it's moving on to negative entity removals. It's never how I started, but I think by embracing my gifts and listening to my spirit guides and having the confidence to say, yeah, actually, I believe in my gifts, let's try this. I've really received so much lovely feedback from people that I've helped who are really, like I say, quite traumatized by the experiences. In addition to this work, before I went down any of this road, I am a Reiki master, and I do strongly believe, though Reiki isn't linked to mediumship, that being a channel for healing energy definitely opened me up further for my gifts to develop. An example that I had with healing was when I was first developing within that, and I was practicing healing circles. It was just a very small group of females in the room, and I had my sort of hands on this person's arm. And I remember I stepped back into a male with a robe, and I said, oh, I'm so sorry. And he said, no, that's fine. Please don't worry. And he just stood next to me and put his hands on and then I realised that he was a spirit who had come in to the healing.
I'm Richard Serrett. Join me on Strange Planet for in-depth conversations with the world's top paranormal investigators, alien abductees, Bigfoot trackers, monster hunters, time travelers, and more.
The handler one day told her this whole thing about how they've been terraforming on Mars and they're building a colony and they're recruiting specific people of specific bloodlines and specific talents and skill sets to go onto the planet.
On Richard Serrett's Strange Planet, we're redefining reality. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
I would see amazing things and sense amazing things when doing Reiki. I would sometimes, if I was really kind of getting in the zone, my eyes would close. And then there's one dear lady I did Reiki on, and sadly she crossed to the light a couple of years ago. But I remember looking at her and all kinds of light was just kind of radiating from her and going around the room. So actually, I think if you're a healer and you're channeling energy on a regular basis, what you've got to remember is, although it's very different from what I'm talking about here with these different types of mediumship, in essence, in healing and mediumship, you are a channel. So when you're a channel and you are allowing yourself to be open, it's really then you can understand how your gifts can expand. You know, if you're channeling Reiki, if you're meditating regularly, all of your chakras are getting a boost, they're getting balanced, and so your gifts are just going to expand. So if you're a healer out there and you're finding that over time, other senses are developing, the more healing you are practicing, then I would say that is why. So I don't do too much kind of hands-on healing now because, you know, COVID happens and different bits. It might be something that I return to. But ultimately, I'm finding myself very much helping people at the moment who are getting tormented by negative entities. And I do feel strongly through my meditation work, just helping people with this, that over COVID, because everything is energy, your thoughts are energy, everything we do, it has a frequency. And over the pandemic especially, there was just so much fear and sadness. A lot of people sadly lost their lives. Life changed so much for so many people. Now, that all has a vibration. And when that energy goes up, goes around, it can, I call in that sense, create a thinning of the veils. Now, for me, the veils, they're almost like an energetic barrier between the kind of different spiritual dimensions. I don't know if anyone who truly knows just how many there are, you know, but in places where bad things have happened, for example, when you go into that environment, you kind of feel it. There's like an imprint, there's a residual feel. And something happens on a great scale, that whole area can almost just have a little bit of a weakening. And then I believe in this case, when a weakening happens and it's linked to the more traumatic things, it just allows more of the kind of nasties to come close. And I don't say that in any kind of fear factor way or anything like that, but I've honestly, over the last 8-9 months, never heard it as much people being affected by negative entities as they are now. It's just when I go on, you know, different social media sites, there are a lot of people making videos about things with their theories, and I get just hundreds of people kind of commenting. But the people who make the videos, it's quite clear that there isn't a whole lot of experience there of how to help these people. But, you know, it pulls in the views, doesn't it? And there are hundreds of people out there really struggling with this. So if you are really struggling with this and, you know, the spirit's reaching out to you and you're feeling totally kind of confused, please just know that you are not alone. And there are a lot of people that have been in that situation and, you know, it does get better. But also, if you're listening to this, and I understand that for some people that listen to this, they're going to be like, what? And maybe 20 years ago, if you said that to me, I'd be like, yeah, okay. But just remember that just because you haven't had an experience like that doesn't mean it's not real. All right, I try and be very kind of open-minded, and I find that really helps the people that I support. I would like to add as well that a lot of people that I've been supporting recently are also having extraterrestrial experiences. I wouldn't say that this is an area that I'm an expert in at all, because I'm not. But a lot of light workers I'm helping at the moment are recalling things around things like abductions, implants. I did a removal on somebody that I work with quite a lot in a group setting, and removed something, and it almost looked like it was kind of almost like robotic when it was going down the spine, but when it came out, it was quite fleshy. It was incredibly bizarre, really bizarre. And when I explained that to the man I support, he kind of said to me that when he was having some implants removed, extraterrestrial implants, that that's exactly what was described that had happened. Something exactly like I described was taken out at one point. Now, I'm not saying I'm an expert in this. I'm not. I was quite surprised that I had that experience. I wouldn't say that I'm highly knowledgeable, but again, the same way as I'm finding people are experiencing negative entities, that a lot of people are experiencing these are also experiencing some issues with extraterrestrials, which are not positive. But again, it's not my area of expertise, and I believe where there's light, there's, you know, there's dark, there's levels. But it's certainly very fascinating to be working with people at the moment that I'm helping with other things that are reporting these. The man that I support, which I know will be listening to this, but I won't put your name out there, but, you know, is explaining how these implants could possibly, you know, maybe not work if you're vibrating at a higher frequency, that they somehow feed off, you know, or activate, because there's, you know, there's trauma held within your energy. And if he ever comes forward to share his experiences, he may be able to explain it better. But certainly with negative entities, I find that, again, these things take their opportunities when you're not feeling your best. Now, I'm not suggesting if you're listening to this because you have a day or a few weeks not so good, you're going to get an attachment. But I think certainly some of us that work in certain fields like rescue mediumship, negative entity removals, even if you're like a paranormal investigator, I've got lots of different paranormal tools and I find them fascinating and I also use them. But I think it is useful to learn about potential attachment and how to work with energy. So, yeah, where I am at the moment is, as well as battling these things, is helping those who come to me in a more kind of mentoring role. And I dare say the more that I go on, I'd like to do some paranormal investigations as well, but also using my mediumship hat, because that's my favourite part. But I certainly plan on points going around some active buildings and things like that, because I find it just completely fascinating. I don't kind of sometimes understand why people go into buildings to film hauntings and, you know, record a bunch of EVPs, or you do something, but there's no kind of follow-up there, you know, whereas I think if you have a medium on your team or a medium go in, if the energy needs calming, if somebody gets an attachment, you've got someone experienced there. If a spirit wants to go to the light, you've got that there, because I don't think a place should just be visited and visited and visited and visited just so people can prove on an EVP recorder or such and such that, yeah, you know, this is paranormal. Yes, it is paranormal. And I love watching people capture images and different bits. But there does become a point where, you know, yeah, this has been done now. And actually, why do you keep going to the same place, busting that on TV shows? It shouldn't be just about proving that there are, you know, there are hauntings. it's about helping those souls as well if they wish to, you know, cross over. I don't think it should be anything to do with viewing figures or anything like that. I mean, one experience I want to share with you, which I think makes every medium out there looks really bad. I don't know how I found myself in this situation, but somebody had witnessed me doing some mediumship, and they knew somebody who has tipped to be one of the best UK mediums. And I went for a meeting at this person's house, and I've never seen anything like it. I'm not going to release the name, but it was like, do you want to come around and do like weekends and go around different haunted places? And of course you're like, yeah, love to. But they were very much, and there was a couple of mediums in there who do some TV shows. What would I be prepared to do? And in like, well, what in what way? And they and one of the ideas they had was, what if we have a coffin in one of the places and we get a person to go in the coffin and we shut the coffin, and then we tell them like a ghost lady's come out and, you know, say that she's really, really angry and stuff and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And I said, no, I'm not doing that. And he came around and said to me, are you sure you're a medium? And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to shut somebody in a coffin and lie to them and scare them. That's not what I do. And I wouldn't do that for money either. So when you're working with mediums, or you're, you know, if you're a developing medium and you want to get yourself kind of out there, just be mindful that not everyone who has got this gift has the best intentions with it. If something doesn't feel good with it, then don't do it. It turns out anyway that project didn't take off, and I'm kind of glad it didn't take off, because I think it would have given mediums a very bad name. And I think also probably, you know, you'd be worried you'd give somebody a heart attack, wouldn't you, if you shut them in a coffin and tell them there's an angry spirit lady coming up really angry with them. So yeah, there's been lots of different experiences on the way, and I'm kind of embracing each one, and I'm incredibly grateful to anybody listening to this who has let me support them and place their trust in me. And I'm incredibly grateful always to the spirit world, my spirit guides, for, you know, helping me with my gifts and helping me get the word out there of kind of what's going on, but also not in any way to just simply try and terrify people for any sort of hidden agenda. So yeah, that is pretty much me.
That's wonderful, Sarah.
Thank you.
Okay, so, you know, when you were younger at the very beginning, you know, you didn't really want to see these things. You didn't want to be involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
Mediums often find that they are like beacons. They are going to attract these spirits, whether you want to or not. This is probably, this is going to happen.
And ultimately, as I got older, it did happen. I think it was meant for me. And it was really ironic that trauma made me shy away from it, but then more trauma opened me up again. But yeah, I honestly believe that if you have this gift, and a lot of people, you know, do, it's not as easy just to say, that's it, I'm not interested. But obviously, being a grieving 10-year-old, I think processing too much, I think, around life and death. But I'm really glad that I have embraced it now. Can be overwhelming, but if you stick with it, it's so worth it, what you learn and what you experience.
And the important thing is, we've all got these chosen paths, and I think if one of your chosen paths is to help people, then of course it can be difficult. I mean, do you find yourself sometimes when you're just sitting down for something to eat in front of the TV, and you start having a feeling, and you're aware of there's a spirit in the room?
Yeah, it happens a lot. My wife calls it my heebie-jeebie face. Apparently, I pull a face. I switch. And one of my really close work friends sort of tells me this, that I just switch. often when I'm just kind of sitting on my iPad, just doing a bit of colouring, relaxing, something will happen. Someone will come close to me and say, I need you to speak to so-and-so. I need you to pass a message on. I've honestly, this is going to sound really bizarre. The funniest place that's happened to me is that I was actually on the toilet and I was like, look, there has to be boundaries here. You can't come and talk to me when I'm on the toilet. It happens a lot. I've house sat before with somebody and I've had to leave the house because it was so spiritually active. I couldn't sleep there. It was just like a, yeah. So quite often, you know, like when you're doing things like hoovering or cooking, when you're doing sort of automatic activities, driving, I used to call my, you know, my car the vortex, because quite often spirits would talk to me on my drive to work. Your mind's just in a different place, and it's really common. It is really, really common to have experiences all over the place.
And I imagine that would get quite annoying. You're driving somewhere to a location and they're behind you in your left ear telling you to go left or go down this way. No, 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 I'm not going that way. I have my destination planned already.
Yeah, that's the thing. Sometimes I do laugh because I'm like, what next? I've driven past accident sites, you know, and then literally felt somebody in the back of my car talking to me, telling me what happened. You know, it's a bit like with Bruce Willis.
Oh, the Sixth Sense.
Yeah, and the little boy's like, car accident or something, and he's telling his mum that person died, and she's like, how do you know that? Because they're standing outside my window. That stuff can happen to mediums. That stuff has happened to me. I find it really fascinating.
I mean, I've got a lot of respect for Bruce Willis in that film. Now, if you haven't seen the film by now, then I'm afraid this is going to spoil it for you. But I've got a lot of respect for Bruce Willis because he was dead. He had died. He still went to work. You know, I've got a lot of respect for that guy.
He did. He did. And it's a great film. And I still find it a great film now. I think that's a great example of kind of where a spirit can be stuck, absolutely not realise sometimes what's happened. I think he portrays that. And yeah, like you say, going to work, I'm not sure that I was not sure, you know. I'd like to think that means a relaxation.
Exactly, but he didn't know, did he? So
he didn't know. And I think that's a very good kind of film to watch if you're trying to understand as well about trapped spirits. Well, why are they still here? Well, in some cases, they don't actually know. It's been so quick. They don't maybe necessarily know or understand. So,
and I also imagine it could be quite frustrating for them if they're trying to communicate with people and they can't hear them, they can't see them, they can't feel them. I guess it'd be very frustrating for them.
Yeah, I think so. And I think the problem with social media is, and I get why people, you know, because kind of stuff can scare people. But honestly, like I look on some pages and that, and somebody's put on a forum, oh, you know, a teacup's moved in my house or a light's coming on there, and people are like, oh my God, it's evil, it's demonic, you need to do this and you need to do that. And I'm like, where are you getting that from? You know, if you encountered something demonic, really demonic, you would know about it. It wouldn't just be trying to move a teacup in your house. Do you know what I mean? I think there's a lot of fear-based stuff. For me, if stuff like that's happening, so if you don't know or understand about mental mediumship, if a light is gently flickering on and off, if something's kind of moved or is moving, it's a form of communication. Don't just quickly assume, oh my God, because then you're just going to scare people as well. And what knowledge do you have to give that? I see that quite often, you know, if a spirit is seen, but it's seen as a dark shadow, that's automatically, that's evil, that's bad. And that's just not always the case. There are various ways spirits try and get your attention, come in your dreams. They can do physical things, like move things. You might hear repeated songs, parts of songs. You might see repetitive number sequences. You might have white feathers always falling around your feet or around you. There's so many different forms of communication. And I think, especially if a soul needs help, I think it can be incredibly frustrating. So, you know, when you're walking into you're watching some paranormal shows and you've got people going, oh, if you're here, you would talk to me and show yourself. And people go in, or there's quite an angry kind of spirit in there that throws things or screams. And I just think, put yourself in that position. If somebody was there and they, you know, they lost their life in a certain circumstance and they've got trauma and they're stuck, if how many people have gone in there in a year trying to get their attention and they're trying to communicate, they're going to be annoyed. Do you know what I mean? Because they're not, they shouldn't be there just for your entertainment. If you're angry, do this. And if you're going to be annoyed because to them, you're invading their space. How would you feel like it if you were in your house and a bunch of spirits walked in and barged in every few days with different gear and waking you up going, oh, if you're real, you would do this. And if you're there, you know, you wouldn't. It's a perspective thing, you know, and I think this is where it's shown that people don't understand about lost souls or how to work with spirits, that you just, if you're going to keep going in there and behaving and just so you can record evidence and you're not making any effort to help, they are going to be annoyed. And if they've died in any kind of horrific circumstance, they're not going to want you there. So this is why, again, I think more awareness is needed about, it's not just an entertainment factor. It's, there has to be some kind of real soulful work going on here in these situations. And that's the kind of work that I'm simply not afraid of and that I embrace. But I can certainly see why some spirits do get annoyed. Yeah, I would be annoyed.
I would certainly be annoyed. Get off my land. It would drive me up the wall. And yeah, you're absolutely right about especially TV these days, and some of the ghost shows, you know, they've got really bad.
Yeah.
The longer they go on, they seem to make things happen, if you see what I mean. I won't name any names of the shows here, because just in case.
Yeah.
You know, but I think we all know. I think we all know.
Yeah.
Back in the 90s, I was a paranormal investigator with a group, and we were part of the Society for Psychical Research. And in those days, you know, the technology was a little bit different. We would do things very old-fashioned. We'd use talking powder and string and tape and record if we had video cameras, but, you know, things were different in the 90s. They were huge, bulky, expensive things, but a lot of it was just pen and paper.
Yeah.
Sit in a room for hours and hours and hours in different locations. Yeah. You wouldn't be together. And a lot of time, we wouldn't just go spend a night in a place. We'd spend 2 weeks, 3 weeks. In fact, 8 months I spent in one place.
Wow.
It'd be a proper group that would be researching the location, and then we'd have a psychic that would come in. And we had a psychic. She's unfortunately she passed many, many years ago now, but she was wonderful. Okay. You know, so we used to use her to clear the place, you know, if they wanted to go. They didn't always want to go.
No.
And so, yeah, but things are different. I mean, these days with TV shows, they go in there for one night. They try, you know, it's all about clicks and views, unfortunately. And it's not helping a situation at all. And when I see the shows and they go to help a family, they're not really helping a family. They're just there overnight doing a few recordings and stuff and then leaving. And whether they've made the situation good or bad, you know, that's all it is for clicks and views.
Yeah.
So if there is any paranormal groups out there which have more of a professional focus on the subject and you would like to have a medium come in and help, then get in contact with Sarah, because I'm sure she'd like to help.
Oh, bless you. Thanks, Nick.
And that would be the London area, preferably.
Yeah, we could certainly discuss. I mean, I would travel different places to, depending on where, you know, where it is, to follow my passion. It's certainly worth giving me a message.
Wonderful. Okay. Do you have a website or social media that people can get in contact?
Yeah, I'm known on social media and as the alternative medium. So if you type in at alternative medium or on social media, I have a blog. I've probably neglected my blog a bit, but it's alternativemedium.com. So yeah, I'm definitely about. I'm on Instagram. I do a lot of scrying, water scrying pictures on Instagram. That's another little passion that I have. Anyone interested in working with a medium who's really dedicated to helping the spirit world, or you're a developing rescue medium and you're just really confused on your path, it's just overwhelming, then, you know, yeah, please do get in touch. See how I can support you.
Wonderful. And for those who have bad memories like myself, I will make all the links available in the show notes and also on the website, so you can get into contact. And that's, you can get into contact if you have a paranormal group and you'd like Sarah's help, or if you just need some help, maybe with negative attachments or spiritual work in general.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And I know, you know, if anyone out there needs any kind of feedback from others that I have supported, then of course, feel free to ask, because I know how word of mouth and things like that are incredibly important with the amount of fakes and the different things we've discussed about social media.
Now, if you're arachnophobic and you have, I think, phantasmophobia, I think it is, which is the irrational fear of ghosts, then astral spiders would be the stuff of nightmares.
100%. Yeah, they're awful. Yeah. But, I mean, those people who have seen them, and I've seen them, obviously, they're just absolutely terrifying. If you think that someone actually had to leave their house, you know, because it was so bad, it's traumatic. In some places, you get a few of them. I've seen walls crawling with them in some people's houses. Oof, nightmarish. It really is.
I must admit, I've never come across them before. I don't think I would like to, but I'm sure that, you know, I'm definitely sure there's our listeners out there that someone has come across these. Scary stuff. Do you often find with negative attachments that obviously there's been a rise, I've noticed it, a rise over the last few years. Do you find that there's things which, I'm not saying they're causing a problem, but they are making things worse, like stress, alcohol abuse, drug abuse?
Yeah, I think it's all about that vibration again, isn't it? I think probably not as simple as to say, you know, like think of the law of attraction, like a like for like. But I do think that when we're in dark and traumatic places and we're abusing certain substances, I do think that can contribute. Yeah, certainly. Especially, you know, you think about the effect that has on the energy around you. So I, interestingly, like actually when I was in hostels for a long time as a worker, there was a lot, you know, there was a lot of paranormal activity and there was a lot of substance abuse and things like that. And so I certainly think that, yeah, that it would contribute.
If you're having problems like that, then yeah, your emotions change, whole living environment can be affected. And I think that can be a doorway for some things to come in and then, you know, progress to negative attachments and sometimes worse.
Yeah, because if you've got unhealed things, trauma and things like that, they see that as a weakening. You know, they see that as an opportunity to get closer. Once you have something really negative attached to you, you can just feel really tired, sleepy, erratic dreams, aches, pains, you know, sleep paralysis. It can be really so horrendous. And it's really annoying as well that these things take their, really trying to attack the most vulnerable, that opportunity, see that they're in a dark place.
Introducing the High Strangeness Coffee Blend by Redacted Coffee Company, a medium roast of the Brazilian kind. This medium roast offers flavours of chocolate and vanilla combined with a distinct fruity taste and a unique sweet floral aroma. The experience of High Strangeness doesn't end there, with a sweet butter aftertaste that doesn't fade as your coffee cools. This coffee regains its flavours all the way through your cup, ensuring it truly is good to the last drop. The veteran-funded, employee-owned Redacted Coffee Company and UFO Chronicles podcast have partnered together to bring you the best coffee on and off the planet. Get 20% off your first order now at redactedcoffee.com/UFO. That's redactedcoffee.com/UFO. Or follow the link below in this episode's description or click on the banner of my website. This podcast is fueled by coffee oozing high strangeness. So what are you waiting for? Wake up to the strange. When you used to work in hospice care and you would say about the elderly, now the elderly, the very last point of their life, and I've always believed that when you know, you're reaching your end, then your past loved ones come and get you, you know, they're around you and they're, you know, to take you over to the other side, which I think is very, very reassuring. And you notice it with children, when children and the elderly see ghosts and spirits, because they're closer to either end, you know. So the children are pretty fresh into this world, so they're the closest to that world. And then when people are leaving, then they're also their closest point, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, so if someone dies alone, they don't really die alone, do they?
No. No, and I'd like to kind of reassure people of that, really. There's a lot that goes on, that there really is. No one truly dies alone, even if their spirit kind of, for some reason, doesn't go where they're supposed to. Someone is always there trying to encourage it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've seen it so many times, and with family as well, who've come towards the end and the things that they've seen. If you can sense it, it's actually such a comforting thing. Loved ones can come. I've sensed lovely angelic presences before. There will be a lot of people over the pandemic who lost people, and you know, you weren't allowed to visit people, were you, or things like that. A lot would have lost people in that situation, and there'll be other reasons why that could happen, but not being able to say kind of goodbye and having these feelings of guilt and different bits. But I just want to kind of reassure you, if you're going through that, that they would have been greeted by others in the spirit world that knew them. Any family or friends would probably come and greet them, often quite angelic presences and different kind of presences like that. And your loved one will not hold anything against you if you couldn't make it there for whatever reason. A lot of spirits, okay, don't want their loved ones to witness a passing. So my mum was in a hospice 7 days, and I was allowed to stay in a hospice, yeah. And in the hospice, I was actually attuned to Reiki because all the staff did it. And my mum was just hanging on. And a nurse came in and said, perhaps your mother doesn't want you to see her go. She doesn't want you to live with that. I think if you try to leave, if you leave, I think you'll find that she'll go. And I was with my sister at that time as well. And we literally left the room, went down to the little sort of kitchen. We went even down there more than a minute. And at the same time, me and my sister's legs went to complete jelly. And we just knew, and we said, she's gone. She's passed. And I believe strongly that was our mum bringing her energy to us, saying, I'm out. And then the nurse came around the corner and she said, I'm so sorry, girls. I think you better come with me. She's just slipped away. So sometimes when there's a barrier for you not seeing your loved one, or you've left the room and they've passed, whatever it is, I do strongly believe that sometimes in certain situations, they just don't want you to see that. And they're grateful that you didn't see that, because, you know, they want the memories of the times you had together to be more prominent in your mind than that experience.
Of course. The beautiful irony is that our loss is another's reunion.
Yeah. I do strongly feel that when our loved ones return to spirit, they are welcomed. It's like a welcoming party, or then they're free of all that pain and suffering. So, like, you know, my mum had motor neuron disease, and I didn't know what motor neuron disease was until my mum got it. And I've lost people to other things, cancer. And I'm not saying one's worse than the other, but I truly have never seen anything like MND. And you want your loved one to be there with you. You don't want them to go, but also in some cases, the level of pain and suffering is so high. When they go back to the spirit world, all of that's gone, all of that pain in the physical body, all of those restrictions. It's a really beautiful thing for them, you know, because they're not living like that anymore. And it was a bittersweet thing, certainly, you know, with my mum, that I didn't want her to die, physically die, but I didn't want her to live with that either anymore. And knowing that she's flying high and she visits me, and just knowing that she's in a place that she's free from pain, it helps me sleep better at night now. Do you know what I mean? I think when they return home to the spirit world, you know, you feel the sadness, but also kind of feel a sense of joy for them as well. I know that sounds a bit bizarre, but joy that they've gone to the place where healing takes place and that they're free again. It's an incredibly beautiful thing.
But it's believed actually in some Eastern cultures, by us mentally and emotionally hanging on to people holds them, you know, because they want to be able to be free. You know, they have to move on and go on to the next world and the next life. Mostly so we can hold on to those people when really we should be letting go.
Yeah, I remember, like, I can honestly say this, like when my mum died, I drank a lot. I got quite, I kind of was channeling it in a different way. I was a lot younger then. And I remember waking up once, I was not too well. And I remember there was this spirit at the end of the bathroom just shaking its head, looking at the floor as if to say, what have you done? And then I did speak to a medium, not about my mum specifically, but I saw them. And they kind of said something to me that really sort of stood out. And they said, your mum is in a great place, but she's so worried about you and how you're going off the rails that she's not finding it as peaceful as she should, because you're hurting so much. It wasn't preventing her from being in the light, but she was so worried about me and the path I was going down that she just wanted me to be okay. And I think that's why she was reaching out to me so much, which pulled me back onto this path. Because I was having all these dreams that I was walking around with her and having conversations, and there were all these things that she was really trying. And I look back at it and I think, yeah, you know, that's right. Of course, you're going to grieve. But sometimes it becomes so consuming, like what it did to me in that phase in my life. It wasn't good for me and it wasn't good for my mum. Our loved ones want for us, although it's really difficult because we really deeply miss them, is they want us to live and they want us to keep going and know that one day we will see them again and we will be reunited. They don't want to be the cause of your life derailing. They don't want to be the cause of you not fulfilling your dreams. They hope that they've done so much with you and given you so much love that you will go forward and achieve your dreams. They don't want to be the reason that you're in so much pain. And I certainly understand that more now that I've got older, that yes, grieve, perfectly normal to grieve, but just remember that, and I remember that my parents, they want me to do well and they're proud of me. They don't want me to spend my life drinking away, do you know what I mean? Because of pain, of their loss, because they're okay. So yeah, I think there has to become a point where you find an acceptance that people, we're not meant to be here forever, and there will be passings, and that will be painful, and there's nothing really we can do about that. We have no control of when we're going to go or how we go, and that's kind of what we signed up for when we came down here. When they've passed and they've gone to the light, they're where they should be. And they're being looked after and they're okay. But that doesn't mean they will never check up on you and let you know that they're there. Live your life, you know, talk about them, keep them in your heart, you know, share the good times. Don't be all consumed long term with what happened, you know.
A lot of people can relate to that. You know, we've all lost loved ones. A lot of time we have tried finding solace and using the bottle as a cushion, but it doesn't really help long term. You got to think they want the best for you. You know, they want you to grieve, but then they want you to carry on with your life. You know, that is what they want.
100%, 100%, because they've had the time they've had. It was a gift. The gift we have every day here is a gift. Even if you're having not a great day, you've got the roof over your head, you're still having your human experience here. Know that they want to see you succeed, and they will always be willing you on to be the best version of yourself, always. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And you're right, you know, life is short. You know, I'm in my mid-40s now. Life is short. So don't waste time, you know, saying to yourself, oh, I'll call them tomorrow, you know, I'd email them tomorrow. Do it now. Do it while you have time.
Yeah, because, you know, I've known a lot of people who have died in the last 4 years. A lot. My best friend of, like, oh, wow, well over 20 years is currently living with breast cancer. And while you're here, appreciate the people you've got. Is it really worth some of the things that you argue about? Is it really worth it? Is it going to bother you in a year's time? I particularly remember a male friend that passed the spirit probably about 3 years ago now. And I hadn't caught up with him much. And I think I was going to via work. And I think one of the last emails we sent each other was, oh, we must arrange that catch-up scene. And then, you know, a few months later, I found out that he'd passed away. And it's one of those things, isn't it? If you've done something and you need to say sorry, say sorry. If you love someone, tell them, show them that you love them. Reply to those messages on your phone. Do you know what I mean? Check in with friends if you haven't heard for a while. Because there's nothing worse, there's absolutely nothing worse than you've left something, a disagreement, you haven't sorted it out, whatever it is, an argument, and then something happens to somebody, you didn't arrange that meetup, you didn't respond to that message, and then you just start living with all that guilt. I wish I'd done a bit more, I wish I made the effort, I wish I'd rearranged that. If it's important to you and that person is important to you and those people are important to you, then put that time in. What's more important? You know, you're not going to take your job with you. You're not going to take the next episode of Netflix you binge with you. Value what you've got.
Absolutely. So get on. The show's nearly finished now. So get on to Messenger or the phone or the email and send those messages. Good stuff. Wonderful advice. That's wonderful, Sarah.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me, Nick, and letting me share my adventures with you and my path and really appreciated it. It's been lovely chatting to you and getting to know a bit about you as well. It's been amazing.
No problem. It's always good to hear. Sarah, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
Thank you. Thanks. And thanks everyone for listening. I just really appreciate it.
Great stuff. Okay. Keep in contact, Sarah, and I'll talk to you soon.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Okay. Take care. Thanks for that.
Take care. Bye-bye.
That's all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Sarah for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.